We are in the book of Acts, finishing it up. Actually, this will be the next to last lesson, but this will be the last lesson dealing with the book of Acts. To explain that is that the story of Paul's ministry goes on beyond the book of Acts, and for the sake of completion next week, as God allows, we'll be looking at just a compilation of what he wrote to the churches and to his helpers that shows a rather interesting after the book of Acts adventures of Paul. So, but we'll conclude the book today if we can make it through the lesson. So, looking at memory verse, we will have one for next week, but not this week. So let's look then at the outline. Number three, people, that sort of picks up in the middle of things. So I give you the verse before, previous verse, verse 13. And from thence we fetched a compass. I had just passed over that last week and said they finally found a compass to find out where they were going. But what this is a word that means they went around the circuit. And so if you look at the boot part of Italy, they landed one place and then they ran around the boot to other places, went around the coast to other ports, and came to Rhegium. And after one day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli. So, looking at the brethren that they met there, the brethren at Puteoli, where at Puteoli we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. This was brought up a question to me. This sounds like Paul wandering through his missionary journey and found some brethren. They said, hey, why don't you stay with us? He says, okay, that'll be great, thanks. But that's not his situation. Remember that, and this word desired is that aorist passive of parakaleo, that we were persuaded, we were comforted, we were encouraged. So it doesn't specify who made the request. The brethren, seems like the brethren asked them to stay, but to remember, Paul and his friends are not here on a visit, but in custody of soldiers who were under strict orders to take him to Rome to face the emperor himself. It was Jameson, Fawcett, Brown, these three Scottish people, I think, said, if this request came from Julius. Now, Julius was the centurion. You go back to 27:1, he's introduced to us as the one overseeing this on the ship. It may have proceeded partly from a wish to receive instructions from Rome and make arrangements for his journey thither to Rome. Partly from a wish to gratify Paul, as he seems studiously and increasingly to have done to the last. Julius seems to have recognized that this is an important person in many ways. And then one can hardly doubt that he was influenced by both considerations. So, having met with some brethren who said, we'd love to have you come and stay with us, Julius seems to say, well, that will be great, and I'm sending runners over to Rome to get instructions what to do. So they were there for a week. And that would be finally off the ship for a while and resting up. So the brethren at Puteoli. Then the brethren at Appii Forum. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum. I wanted to find out what that was. Eastern Bible Dictionary. Market at Appius is what this means. A town on the road, which is called the Appian Way. This is the road from Rome to Brundisium. It was 43 miles from Rome. Here Paul was met by some Roman Christians on his way to the capital. It was natural that they should halt there and wait for him, because from this place there were two ways by which the travelers might journey to Rome. So they said, well, you're going to be coming up. You're certainly going to come to this place. We'll wait for you there. The Appian Way, a pretty famous place if you've read any of the history, It was constructed by Appius Claudius Caecus, 312 BC, so it'd been there a long time. A.T. Robertson places it the Forum of Appius 90 miles from Puteoli, 40 from Rome on the Great Appian Way. So 90 miles from where they had landed. Then brethren at three taverns, and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Courage is the name of the drink. No. Three taverns sounds funny to us, but it's that's more of a restaurant or even a resting place. So this is a place on the Great Appian Way, about 11 miles from Rome, designed for the reception of travelers, as the name indicates. Here, Paul, on his way to Rome, was met by a band of Roman Christians. The Tabernae was the first mansio or mutatio, that is, halting place for relays from Rome, or the last on the way to the city. It goes on to say, at this point, three roads run into the Via Appia, that from Tusculum, that from Alla Longa, and that from Antium. So necessarily here would be a halting place, which took its name from the three shops there. The general store, the blacksmith's, and the refreshment house. Tabernae is translated as three taverns, but according to Easton, more correctly means three shops. A.T. Robertson says now that's about 30 miles from Rome. They've traveled about 10 miles from the last stop. Then prison. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. So there is a, Rome did have a prison place. These things were not made for the comfort of the prisoners. You had to have somebody bring you food. You had somebody bring you clothing and all this other stuff. Paul, separate with his doctor friend and some others there, he rents a house. So he has his own house there. Now he's chained to a soldier, but so he's imprisoned, but he's not in prison. Captain of the guard, Jamison Fawcett Brown. This is just to me a very fascinating, interesting history point. Praetorian prefect to whose custody as commander of the Praetorian Guard. Praetorian Guard was the Caesar's guard, the highest military authority in the city. Were committed all who were come before the emperor for trial. So you hand over all the prisoners that will see Caesar to this man. Ordinarily, there were two such prefects, but from AD 51 to 62, one distinguished general, his name Burrus Aphramus, who had been Nero's tutor, held that office, and as our historian speaks of the captain, as it were, but one, it is thought that this fixes the apostle's arrival at Rome to be not later than the year 62, but even though there had been two when Paul arrived, he would have committed to only one of them, who would be the captain who got charge of him. So this is not necessarily that strict time of date. But F.F. Bruce, who worked very hard on all the dating of this, it puts it at A.D. 60, so it would work for this. Burrus Aphramus, we end up knowing historically who it was that Paul was committed to. So Paul here is treated as an important political prisoner with a soldier that kept him. So he has his own house, but with a soldier who kept him. John Gill explained this. He was under the care and custody of a soldier who constantly attended him wherever he went, and which could not be otherwise, seeing he was chained, as in Acts 28:20, and his chain was put on his right hand and fastened to the left hand of the soldier. So you see that, left hand of the soldier, right hand of Paul, that had him under his keeping, so that wherever he was or went, the soldier must be likewise. Hence that passage in Seneca, and this is, he's referring back to, since we all studied Latin in school and read Seneca, he says this is talking about that passage, where Seneca says, as the same chain joins together the prisoner and the soldier, so those things which are unlike go together. Fear follows hope. And so taking the thing we were all acquainted with, how the prisoner and the soldier are chained together. So we see the setting. Now Paul gets down to business. The business of the trial and all that, that's not up to him. Who knows? You know, he's going to be there for 2 years. So, you know, waiting for the courts to clear and all that kind of stuff. It's going to take 2 years. But, so he has other things to do. One of the first things, his heart burns for Israel, and he wants to talk to the fellow Jews from Rome. So Paul's activity in Rome, the first is the interview with Jewish leaders, and this is going to be for us a very important historical act. I say for us as Gentile believers, it's an important time. And the first part of that interview, Paul's desire to meet with the Jews, and for that reason, they're coming to Paul, since he was otherwise engaged. And then Paul recounts his history to them. Point 1c, he had been falsely accused. So, it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, now he was, as it were, a visiting rabbi, a teacher, a man, you know, studied under Gamaliel, famous in all of Judaism. So when this call goes out, these people come to see him. And he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people, that's Israel, their way of talking about themselves, or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Then he says that he had been formally acquitted, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. They were accused him of a death sentence, but he was excused. Then he had been further arraigned, but when the Jews spake against it, letting him free, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. So this situation, being brought from Jerusalem to Rome to appear to Caesar, having been accused by the Jews, could look like he was reporting them for misdeeds. Paul is eager to assure the Jews that he is not there to bring charges against his nation. Jameson Fawcett Brown summarizes, I am here not as their accuser, but as my own defender, and this not of choice, but of necessity. I didn't have any choice. They were going to kill me. Then we see Paul reveals his hope to them. Now, he wants to go beyond the actual facts of why he's there and bring up what's the whole story. Why are they against me? And this, he says, because of a certain reason. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Now, the hope of Israel, I think my first readings of this, I took it as a general concept, but I called you, this is that word parakaleo, I have counseled you, have urged you, encouraged you. The hope of Israel, this is then a specific hope. And as we look back, we can see that it was mentioned in 23:6, in 24:15, and 26:6-7, and always spoken of as the hope of Israel. Dr. Alva McLean, Greatness of the Kingdom, the great book that I mentioned to you from time to time, he says it involved A, the hope of the coming of the Messianic Kingdom as set forth in the Old Testament prophecy. So the hope is Israel's coming into the kingdom. And then B, the hope of a resurrection of those Israelites who had died to the end they might participate in the kingdom. Compare Ezekiel 37. Daniel also, at the end of Daniel, speaks of the resurrected from the dead to enter the kingdom. So there is no, saved Israel is not taken up in the rapture. That's just for the saved church. But after the tribulation period is completed, Christ will resurrect it with their perfect bodies, the saved Jews. And this is just before he sets up the kingdom. So that's a perfect time for them to be in their body. So this is what he presents. Their comment to him, they said unto him, "We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, nor any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee." So we haven't heard anything about you, good or bad, but certainly nothing bad. So we're not looking suspiciously at you. And then the Jews desire to meet with Paul. "But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect," this is Christianity, "we know that everywhere it is spoken against." So everything they hear, it's against it. Adam Clark had an interesting historical note. A saying of Justin Martyr, let me just say Justin Martyr, one of the earliest of the church fathers. He's not an apostle, but he was tutored by the apostles. He was discipled by apostles. And so what he had to say is, you know, as close to Scripture as we can get. He cast some light on this saying of the Jews. He, Justin Martyr, asserts that the Jews not only cursed them in their synagogues, cursed Christians, but they sent out chosen men from Jerusalem to acquaint the world, and particularly the Jews everywhere, that the Christians were an atheistical, that's quite a word, isn't it? Atheistical and wicked sect. So this warning was full of lies, heavily accent on the fact that they just didn't like them, which should be detested and abhorred by all mankind. And that's in Justin Martyr Dialogues, page 234. Well, then we have a second interview with Jewish leaders and the discourse. "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging." So the house gets filled up with a group of curious Jewish leaders, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. This is that hope that he was talking about, and how the kingdom will be fulfilled by the coming of Christ, the Jesus of Nazareth, who has died, rose from the dead, and will be returning, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So it was a marathon session, probably questions being asked, and then him turning to the scriptures, reciting the scriptures that many of them would have known. So the discourse. So we now come to the end. At the evening now, we come to the end of this, and we find out what happens at the invitation. The division. "And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believe not." Well, we probably would have expected that. The details of this is that "some believed the things" uses the imperfect passive of the verb patho, meaning to persuade. So it says, some were being persuaded of the things. Some were being persuaded. So the being persuaded sounds to me like a reference to God's working in their heart. "Some believe not" uses the imperfect active of the verb apistuo. Pistuo is to have faith or to believe. A is the negative, meaning to betray a trust or be unfaithful or, and probably more in this regard, to have no belief, to disbelieve. So the phrase means, and some disbelieved. We know you're saying this is true, but we do not believe you. We do not believe this is these are the facts. Now, this brings about an important passage of Scripture, and it turns out that it's important, looking back, it's important for us as Gentile believers. So we see now the denunciation. First of all, the final rejection of the truth by the Hebrews. The quibbling, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. No agreement, so there was no wholesale turning to Christ. The quote. Now, before I get to the quote, I wanted to talk about the quote. The passage that he's quoting is from Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. It was quoted by God's man only upon four great crises in the history of Israel. Four times, including this, God gave God's man these words to say about Israel. Number one was in Isaiah's day, when the rebellion of the nation was leading to judgment and the end of the theocratic kingdom on earth. The end of the theocratic kingdom. The theocratic kingdom is God ruling through the men of earth. And remember that we saw in Ezekiel that with the Babylonian captivity, that the glory of God, the Shekinah, the dwelling glory, moved out of the temple to the doorway, moved out over completely away from it, then went up to the top of the mountains, and then just disappeared. So the glory of God departing, this was the end of the kingdom. This is the beginning of the times of the Gentiles. The theocratic kingdom ends, Israel ruling itself, and the Gentiles ruling Israel began. That is continued to today and will continue until Antichrist is conquered by Christ. So that was the first time. Then secondly, in Christ's life on earth, when the attitude of the religious leaders made it clear that he would be rejected by the nation. And so in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and in Luke 8 is the record of Christ quoting this passage from Isaiah that God is turning away from Israel again. The third time was in Christ's life on earth, when during the triumphal entry, the nation's leaders conspired to kill him. And so then again, in John 12, he brings up this passage. And then finally here in Paul's life, when the renewed offer of the kingdom, we talked about this at the beginning, that now that Christ had died and was resurrected and seated at the right hand of the Father, everything was in place for Israel. Israel is still in the land. So it was all set up for them to believe, and Christ would have come. He would have returned right then. But they did not believe. And here is the end of that. This quoting of this passage pictures the end of the second offer of the kingdom, the renewed offer. In a few years, AD 70, this is in the 60s, Jerusalem and the temple would fall in awesome destruction. Israel would no longer be in the land. And that would continue until the time of my birth, 1946, 1947, Israel was made a nation again that began gathering back. So that was a long time be without the land. All right, with that understanding of the historical emphasis of this passage, let's look at it. So first of all, it deals with the woeful ignorance. And after that, Paul had spoken one word, "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. And so we find this among the unsaved today. They see and hear everything that you and I see and hear. And for us, it's an edification. It's building up. It's an understanding. It's a discipleship. For them, they're saying, I don't get it. So a woeful ignorance, and then a willful ignorance. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, heavy, not sensitive. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, you see. I can't see you because they've closed their eyes. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. And so this is not really a curse, just a recognition that they have cursed themselves, that they have shielded themselves from the truth. The future reception of the truth by the heathen, that's us, the fact declared, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. That's our memory verse for this week, for next week. And then the fact discussed, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. The word reasoning can be a debate, talking back and forth. So the last two verses, Paul's continuing ministry. Luke summarizes now the rest of the 2 years. Paul's extended imprisonment, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. I'm guessing friends who wept over his being taken as prisoner, churches sending money in to rent the house for 2 years, and received all that came in unto him. So this is a pretty nice imprisonment. You know, imprisonment is imprisonment, but it's not a nasty jail cell. The second time he's arrested, we'll talk about that next week as God allows. It was a hole. It was a filthy, dark hole. But this is pretty nice. God had sent him here as a visiting evangelist to God's purpose. And for God's purpose, it sets it up just like that. And then the last verse, Paul's extensive impact. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And so he's set up in Rome under the eyes and ears of the soldiers, eyes and ears of the Roman palace itself. He's going to speak in some of his writings about the palace guard. Some of them believed. So he's going to have a big impact. I mention here, not only did he preach and teach, but he also wrote. And so let me close with these words. Homer Kent says, during this time, Paul wrote 4 of the New Testament epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. So we have benefited from this time. So he had that opportunity. So next week, the memory verse, Acts 28:28, easy numbers to remember. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. He had been given that promise of God. All right, so we close the curtain on the book of Acts. Next week we'll be looking at, it would be too long and tedious for us to go through the study of putting it all together. So I'm just going to summarize for you the story of what happened after Acts stopped. And after the 2 years were finished and Paul was released. We know he would have been released. I say we know it. All the evidence was, everything that we've shown, is that he's there to be dismissed The previous jailers wouldn't dismiss him, even though they found him guilty of nothing. And the word of everybody was he could have been released if he hadn't appealed to Caesar. But if he hadn't appealed to Caesar, he'd have been hijacked and killed. So what's going on here, the explanation would be given. The Jews wanted me dead because they don't like what I preach, but I've done nothing wrong against the rules of Rome or anything. And so it would have been dismissed. Nothing there to hold him. All right, comments or questions? Yes, Nancy.
Where it's called the Three Taverns.
Yes.
Is that a problem of interpretation, or is that a problem of that with the name of the place
to go, these three shops? Well, pretty much to us, a tavern is just a place to go drink alcohol. But these were the pubs. These were the places where, public house, in other words, a place where people stopped to stay. Travelers were there to eat and to drink. So the old English word of tavern is being used here.
So that was the name of the location, or not?
Yeah, it was the three shops, somebody said, makes it, it was the place of three shops. So it was the first mall, I think. It was along the road, they stopped right there, and three roads came in together. So it was a crossroads. So there was a blacksmith and a store and then a restaurant, public staying place. All right. Well, let's stand together and be dismissed with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the book of Acts. We thank you for explaining to us in some detail how the early church began, the trials, the ups and downs, but all in all, the triumph through it all, though the animosity of the Jewish leadership spread like an evil cancer all through Israel. They were believing what the leaders told them, but many were getting saved out of it anyway. We pray, Father, that you might help us then to recognize that's our situation today, that many Jews are being saved today, but it's not wholesale, it's not very many, it's not enough to make a difference in Israel. But we ask that you might guide and direct us to be faithful to God's people, to get the message to them, and to be for them. You've always urged us to bless Israel, that whoever blesses them will be blessed. And Father, we long to be blessed by thee. So guide and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen.